Blood Debt, written by Lise Ap Adin, read by Opalsong. Fandom Katekyo Hitman Reborn. Rating Teen and Up. Category Gen. Also tagged for Alternate Universe Vampire, Vampires, Blood and Gore. Part 3 of the Bloodsport series. Summary. Squallow is going to owe him for this. Namimori's Watcher and his fledgling make embarrassingly short work of Squallow, all told. The fight between them consists of the exchange of a few swift blows before the Watcher pins Squallow's arms, and the fledgling tears into Squallow's throat. The fledgling feeds, as all fledglings do, without restraint or grace, letting Squallow's blood flow over his fangs and claws, and drinking greedily until his first thirst is sated. But not his first blood rage, apparently. That he vents on Squallow's body, tearing into it with fang and claw until the pieces of him are scattered across the alley. It's less messy than it could have been, potentially, since at least the fledgling drained Squallow first. The fledgling isn't satisfied till Squallow is in pieces, and only then does the Watcher intervene. He moves as the fledgling stands in the midst of his carnage, with his shoulders heaving. When the fledgling rounds on his sire, the Watcher closes a hand on his neck, driving him to his knees with a casual flex of his wrist. He slides his hand under the fledgling's chin, uses his thumb to force the fledgling's chin up, and licks the fledgling's throat as he strains against that grip. Namimori's Watcher is unrelenting, however. He holds the fledgling there, methodically grooming the blood from him till his fledgling takes the hint and submits to him, going pliant in the Watcher's grip and tilting his chin further back. The Watcher continues to hold him for the space of a human heartbeat, then another, before releasing him. They take to the skies, then, the Watcher leading his fledgling away, leaving what is left of Squallow scattered behind them. The fledgling hasn't left much blood in him, and without blood, Squallow is doomed, too drained to make more than feeble attempts to regenerate and crawl back to the safety of shelter before the sun's dawning brings him the true death. Sitting on his haunches, cloaked in shadow and with his own presence made small and unnoticeable, Levi considers the quandary this places him in. He has no real love for Squallow, who is arrogance personified, and would have killed him himself decades ago, had other obligations not made that undesirable. It would be easy, now, to leave Squallow in the places he lay until the sun burned him to ash. Levi tastes the idea, gives it long thought as the moon sinks in the sky. At length he discards it with a sigh as too displeasing to carry out. When the time comes, it will be his claws and fangs that rend Squallow to pieces in preparation for the true death. Vicarious satisfaction is no satisfaction at all. 2. There is the little matter of their mutual master. Levi is loath to admit it, but Squallow has a knack for handling Xansas that no one else seems to be able to replicate. And Levi has tried many times. Xansas is not at all likely to be pleased with Squallow's death, and no one else has Squallow's genius for getting Xansas to eat enough to feed the human blood in him. Or perhaps it is that Xansas will tolerate receiving human food from no hand but Squallow's, annoying as that thought may be. Decision made, Levi launches himself from his perch, dropping down to the ground to hunt the scattered pieces of Squallow. It takes a bit of time, thanks to the fledgling Watcher's rage. But at last he finds all the major pieces of Squallow and dumps them into a cardboard box dragged from a pile of rubbish. Squallow is currently beyond caring about his dignity, and it amuses Levy to survey the macabre jumble of his limbs and head and torso, all bloodless and pale in their battered cardboard container. There is a bolt hole nearby, a safe haven against the sun for those careless enough to be caught without other shelter when dawn approaches. Levy stows Squallow there and launches himself into the hunt, conscious of the night slipping away from them. But Levy is, and always has been, an efficient hunter. The drunk he finds curled in an alley to sleep off a night's excesses is barely worth the name of prey. No challenge at all for Levy's not inconsiderable skills. The dawn is coming, however, and Levy knows when to set aside his own pride for higher ends. The man is still drunk, and barely does more than moan faintly when Levy drags him aloft and arrows his way back to the bolt hole. Squallow is as Levy left him, in still pieces, though perhaps some of the ragged gashes in his flesh have drawn together somewhat. That gives Levy a moment's pause, for grudging respect. Whatever else he might think of Squallow, the other vampire is strong. He wonders, briefly, what would happen if, with Squallow safe from the sun and his duty by their master discharged, he simply left Squallow here. How long would it take Squallow to pull himself together again? But Levy dismisses the idea eventually, tempting though it is. It is no bad thing to think of Squallow owing him a favor. It will gall Squallow to know that he owes Levy, to know that someday Levy will collect on that debt, though not until he is ready. Levy contemplates that and smiles to himself, full-fanged and pleased, and goes about straightening out the mess of Squallow, fitting the pieces of him back together. As he does, he considers the savagery of the fledgling Watcher's fury, which is apparent in how viciously Squallow has been ripped apart. By main strength, it seems, not by anything as elegant as the slice of claws and fang. It is disquieting to consider this, what it might mean. But he is a fledgling, only a fledgling, even if a watcher. Squallow is strong, it's true, but he was caught unawares, and he is not the strongest vampire Levy knows. Fledglings are easy to kill, despite their ferocious strength. Fledgling watchers are a little different, else there would be more of their kind in the world. And two, this fledgling belongs to Nami Mori's watcher. Knowing that, Levy has to wonder about the likely trajectory of the fledgling's lifespan. It's altogether likely that the watcher will tire of his fledgling quickly and turn him out. And then? Well, they will have to see. When he has Squallow pieced together and arranged to his satisfaction, lying straight on the floor with his colorless eyes staring at the low ceiling of their bolt hole, Levy picks up the drunk and rips the sleeve back from the man's arm. The drunk groans sluggishly, then cries out and wakes from his stupor when Levy slices a deep gash in his wrist and lets the blood flow down into Squallow's mouth. Levy ignores the man's thrashings and watches Squallow instead as the blood slides between his lips. The seconds pass, unmarked but for the panicked gasps and animal sounds of the drunk's terror. Then Squallow's throat moves, swallowing the blood. Levy smiles, air cool on his fangs and rich with the scent of blood, and settles in to feed Squallow as the sun paints the earth and concrete above their heads with gold and crimson. The end. Boy is a monster. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/Opalsong. Thanks for listening!